Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Ken Cruley from politicsandstuff.com is joining us live this morning. Ken, it seems like we had a political earthquake yesterday.
We certainly did, Susan, the likes of which anybody around here would be hard-pressed to remember anything like this. A major turnover in the mayor's office by an outsider, but also the parties getting rolled over, Democrat, Republican, and conservative, who was early supported Karen Case, and that they took it on the chin, too. So an incredible night.
We'll start in the city of Buffalo. It was, it's a pretty wide margin by the votes that were cast, we'll say, because there weren't a ton of votes cast in the mayoral primary in the city of Buffalo. Looking at the amount of votes and the amount that the incumbent lost by, could the mayor have benefited from running a more robust campaign? I mean, he had been pretty quiet on the campaign front over the last several months.
Absolutely right, Brian. I think it was a terrible miscalculation by the mayor and his team. They've been cruising. They just assumed that they were going to win, and they didn't really put the effort into it, obviously, because they lost by a pretty good margin. They was running the so-called Rose Garden strategy of just being nice and cutting ribbons and doing stuff like that. It didn't work because the other side was working their tail off doing other things.
Is it more about what the mayor did wrong, or is it what India did right?
Well, I would attribute it more to what she's done right. In a situation like this, somebody who comes from the outside and pulls this off has put together a pretty good organization. She raised a decent amount of money for a challenger. She only raised about a third of what the mayor raised, but obviously it was enough. There's also an issue, I think, of shelf life. Someone who's been in office for 16 years, and no matter what the impressions of people, sometimes folks just say, it's time for a change. So that may have, without any particular issue that's pointing to that, it may just have been shelf life with the mayor, too.
Ken, we're talking about a couple thousand votes here. How big of a difference did those school zone speed cameras in the city of Buffalo make?
Well, they didn't help. I think, an overall scheme of city issues, a relatively minor issue, but it certainly got a lot of attention, got people mad, even people probably who were never caught up in the speed traps were upset by it. So it certainly had a factor in what happened here.
I mean, the mayor never really budged on his position. He stayed with the speed cams all the way through, didn't even veto the council legislation, just let it expire.
Yeah, maybe overconfidence that it didn't really matter what he was saying. A lot of folks believe that right from the outset, the whole purpose of that was to raise money. And the excuse was that they were going to provide safety. Well, there's other ways to provide safety to the kids, and it backfired on them, certainly.
You know, because of all these different issues, whether it's the turnout, you know, those school zone speed cameras, the strength of the campaigns between the two, I'm wondering your opinion on this. Can you really use this as a barometer, given all the other factors at play, of the strength of the progressive side of the Democratic Party in the city of Buffalo? Is this anywhere near a staking a flag in the ground, so to speak, for that far left side? Or is it more just a confluence of events of all these things that we mentioned?
Well, the winners, of course, will claim it's a flag in the ground. But I think that you have to put the whole thing in perspective. There's 156,000 registered voters in the city of Buffalo. India Walton received something less than 12,000 of those votes. So the progressives, I think that that's some measure of where they stand. The other 144,000 people who either voted for the mayor or didn't show up at all may have a different attitude about it. So I don't think it's appropriate, at least at this stage, to draw any conclusions about how strong the progressives and the so-called socialists are in terms of the city of Buffalo, because they got 12,000 votes out of 156,000 possible votes. And I think that that needs to be kept in perspective.
Now, if she is sworn in as mayor, and it appears that she would be at this point, what would be ahead for the city under her socialist leadership?
Well, that, in my mind, is a good question. I'm someone who kind of follows a lot of this stuff pretty closely. I don't really have any strong impressions about what she intends to do. I heard a lot of talk about slogans and generalities, but I didn't hear a lot of specifics. The city has had some major financial problems that are temporarily band-aided over by some federal money, but the problems are going to reoccur soon enough, and I haven't heard her say one word about that. So I don't know what she's planning. The interesting thing, though, is that she's about to have the longest transition of any political candidate that I've ever heard of in my life. She's going to be in a transition period for 6 months. So that'll give her time to flush out what needs to be done or what she thinks she can do. The other factor is that she has to deal with a common council that was very supportive and loyal to the mayor, all nine of them pretty much, and they control the votes in terms of what policies and programs are approved. So how that all fits in and where they settle in with her remains to be seen. That'll be a really interesting story.
Ken, on the countywide level, and this is true with Republicans, too, because of what happened in the sheriff's primary there, but maybe more so with Democrats because of not only the sheriff's primary, but the mayoral primary, where both endorsed Democrats lost. What does that mean for the future of the Democratic Party in Erie County?
Well, the Democratic Party has been around for a long time and will be for a long time, but it certainly wasn't a good night for the party, and they're going to have to regroup. The turnout in the suburbs was abysmal, and it contributed to Gould's loss. Both parties, though, as you point out, I mean, the Republicans trotted out every elected office holder that they had to endorse Karen Healy Case. There was Palladino and Caputo and Rath and the Republican legislators in the county and so forth, and they took it on the chin too. So there's some reflection there, and I throw the Conservative Party into it too, because they pushed early to endorse Case, and that led to what happened, I believe, yesterday. So there's going to have to be some reflection there. All in all, a very poor night for party leadership in Erie County.
And just looking ahead, what will the sheriff's race look like this fall?
Well, we know we have Garcia and Beattie in the race. There are some minor party candidates that filed independent petitions, including Gould. I don't know whether he would carry on. That I kind of doubt that. But there's a third candidate named Ted DiNoto, who is a member of the Amherst Police Department, who chose right from the beginning not to go into a primary but to run as an independent. So at the very least, there will be three candidates running for sheriff. And who knows, with the upsets, that, you know, that could change the picture. If Case remains as the conservative candidate, which seems likely at the moment, could change. But if she remains, then there's four candidates in the race. So I don't think anybody can really put their finger on that, particularly after what happened last night. We'll have to see how the parties organize, how much money they can raise, how they can regroup.
Hey, Ken, thanks so much for the analysis. As always, that's Ken Crooley. Politicsandstuff.com is where you can find his thoughts, and a lot to talk about after an eventful primary day in Buffalo and throughout Erie County.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.